My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned. And we are joined by Lori Trotta of Mediascope. Lori, thank you for being with us on the program today.
Hi, Mike.
Well, we appreciate that you were able to be with us. Can you let the listeners know what Mediascope is and what you all are trying to accomplish with that?
Absolutely. We are a nonprofit organization. We're based right in the heart of Hollywood in Studio City, California. And what we do is study the media, the nature of it, what types of social issues are sort of being shown in the media. And we work with psychologists and social scientists to determine what effect that is having on viewers. And then we take the information and we bring it to the entertainment industry, and we try to sort of inform them of the influence that their work is having. And we do this in a way that we try to be very helpful to them, because there is a lot of information that never gets to them. So we try to present it in a way that they could really use in the context of their work.
Certainly the whole issue of social issues in the media has been brought to the fore again in the wake of the school shootings at Columbine, and to what degree media violence has helped precipitate that very, very sad event, correct?
Absolutely. It's made our work, you know, seem tragically more relevant than ever.
I'm thinking about several things as we're speaking. Let me remind the listeners that we're speaking with Lori Trotta of Mediascope, and we're talking about social issues in the media. Lori, from the perspective of Mediascope, looking at the media landscape here in the United States, I mean, what are we dealing with here? I mean, it seems to me that at the very core, we're at a place where, you know, violence is the core of entertainment on television and in films. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes, there is a great, great deal of violence, as we all know, in our media culture. And what we're most concerned about is the cumulative effect of that violence over years and years and years of time. And I can throw out just a couple of statistics. The average child in America spends about 28 hours a week watching television. And over the course of the year, this is twice as much time as they spend in school. So the television is taking up a large amount of our children's time. And what we need to think about as a society is exactly what messages the television is giving our kids. It is known that we learn many, many different things from watching TV. Some of them are good, some of them are just sort of innocuous, and some of them are not so good. You know, we learn sort of, you know, we get ideas for how to dress, how to do our hair, how to decorate our homes. You know, television teaches things in many, many different ways.
One of the things that, I hear this a lot, and I hear people, particularly people in the industry, who want to say that, well, I mean, this all is violence. Doesn't create violence. It doesn't convince anybody to do anything. It doesn't make anybody go out and do that. These are sick people who would probably have gone and done this anyway. But at the same time, I mean, mega businesses spend millions and billions of dollars on commercial advertising. I mean, they wouldn't be spending that money on commercial advertising if they didn't think that by putting a message out on television, it would make people do something, correct?
Absolutely. And the fact is that there's about 40 years of scientific evidence that tells us without a doubt that the violence that we're seeing in the media is influencing us as a society. And it influences us in a couple of different ways. We can, after viewing violence, we can become afraid of being victimized ourselves, which leads to sort of mistrust of others and possible purchasing of weapons for protection. I think a lot of us just feel that way after watching the news. You know, I mean, sometimes it is just depressing, and you believe that it's a meaner world, and perhaps it really is, because you're getting such a concentrated dose.
We're speaking with Lori Trotta of Mediascope. Lori, are you ready to take a phone call?
I sure am.
Great. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hi, I just enjoyed your comment. one thing that came to mind is a quote from Jack Schwartz years ago, and he's talking about the pathology of society and how when you have a culture that has one problem that's isolated out of a million, the media immediately jumps on that and makes a big issue out of it instead of studying the 999,000 that didn't show that problem. So anyway, just thought I'd share that comment.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
And I couldn't agree more. I mean, to lay the series of tragedies that is happening, for example, with teenage shooting completely at the feet of the media is ludicrous. And as you had alluded to earlier, Mike, I mean, you know, if you have a normal, balanced kid who plays violent video games and watches, you know, some television murders, that is not going to incite that kid to go out and become a homicidal maniac. What we're talking about here are kids who have a lot of problems, who are unbalanced kids, who are being neglected at home in some way. Who are just psychologically unbalanced. But the media violence can influence that child and can incite him or give him ideas or inspire him almost on the way he's going to perpetrate his violence.
We're speaking with Lori Trotta of MediaScope about social issues in the media, and of course one of those social issues in the media, which is very, very prominent in the news today, is of course violence. Lori, let me ask you, does MediaScope just deal with entertainment aspects of media, or also with analyzing and discussing the issue of news? Because, I mean, I have some real questions about the way this whole latest situation has been covered.
Yeah, it is a bit troublesome, isn't it? The way it's been
exploited
so closely. But the news media violence is something that we have not looked at carefully. We actually do have a small study in the works about its effects. But there are journalistic organizations that look at that in great depth. So we've decided not to go into that area.
One of the guests that we have had on the program a couple of times is Paul Clyde of Rocky Mountain Media Watch. And of course, they
report.
Right. And they do focus very heavily, of course, on local television news coverage. And as you so alluded to earlier in our discussion, there's a very, very top loading, if you will, of crime stories on local television news. And that completely masks the fact that indeed crime has been going down now for a number of years. But yet, because local television news stations use crime as the main staple of their broadcasts, people get the mistaken identity that, you know, violence is just expanding at a geometric rate around them. And they are then led to have a mistaken view of what's happening in their neighborhoods, in their city, in their country.
That's true. It's called the mean world syndrome.
I haven't heard it really happen.
You feel that way after watching the news.
Talk, if you will, about the mean world syndrome, because I haven't heard it put quite that way.
Well, that is a phrase that was dubbed by Professor George Gerbner, who is one of the pioneers, one of the people who began thinking about how this new medium of television was affecting us all. And so that is one of the ways in which media violence influences us. It gives us a feeling that we're living in a meaner world and makes us afraid of being victimized. Another way that media violence makes us feel is it, after a while, it desensitizes us to the violence so that we need a gorier murder to make us say ick. You know, over and over and over again, the methods have to be revved up higher and higher and higher and higher for us to get that reaction. And after a while, that even spills over into real-world violence.
It's very interesting that you say that, because we just did a news story at the top of the hour about how a study was done, and during World War II, only 15 to 20% of infantry soldiers said that they actually could have shot someone, you know, during the war, and that by the time the Vietnam War came around, that percentage had been risen to some 90%, and that was done through the process of desensitization,
right.
And that desensitization is now not beginning for people at 18 years of age, but at 18 months of age as a result of the content in the media. Are you ready to take another phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hi, I want to ask the lady of her opinion, if we assume that violence is at one of the causes, violence on the media is a cause, how do you propose to limit or address that issue without stepping on anybody's First Amendment rights?
Right. It's something that we grapple with here all the time. And, we don't want government censorship. It's, you know, once you cross that line, then you're into a whole new world of very scary things, too. So what we at Mediascope do is we try to encourage social responsibility among the people who create the media products. You know, the people who are the directors, writers, and so on, you know, they're good people. They have children. They're just trying to pay their mortgage like everyone else. What we try to do is provide them with information so that they begin to realize what the cumulative effect of their work is and to encourage them to be responsible and to do the right thing.
This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. We're talking with Lori Trotta of Mediascope about social issues in the media. Lori, let me ask you, because there's another aspect of this that I don't think gets discussed very much. And, you know, certainly we don't want government coming in and telling people what they can view and what they can write and all of that. But the question very rarely gets asked, at least that I hear it, about these, you know, huge media corporations who, you know, simply, you know, put this stuff out and, you know, they're the ones who basically dictate to the producers and the artists and the writers, you know, what will be sold. If you want to get it sold, you have to, you know, make it palatable to us. And where does their social responsibility come in? And something that doesn't get, you know, just because you can sell it doesn't necessarily mean that you should sell it.
That's right.
Can you talk a little bit about how Mediascope interacts with the industry to try to get some of these folks to understand that?
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, as you can imagine, it's quite a project. We have rolled it out for ourselves here. What we do is we take our messages to places where film people gather. We go to film festivals. We go to industry conferences and conventions, and we put on panel discussions. And in our panel discussions, we try to get a range of opinions and just get people debating. I mean, what we want to see is people walking out from our sessions really talking about what that meant and what that meant to them personally and what that meant to them in the context of their jobs. Because it really does come down to individual decisions. And you're absolutely right. Starting at the top with the types of programming that is being funded, right on down to the writers who are scripting the words that are coming out of the actor's mouth.
We're speaking with Lori Trotta of Mediascope. Caller, you're live on the air.
Been a very interesting program so far. It seems to me, however, there's a contradiction. Excuse me.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
You've been talking about how violence in the media escalates the level of violence in society, and yet the statistic that you quoted earlier in the show, which I've seen elsewhere, is that violent crime has been on the decline for a number of years. How do you address that particular apparent contradiction?
That's a very good point. Lori, would you like to speak to that?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't really see it as a contradiction. We're not saying that violent crime is being eliminated in this country. You know, we're very, very happy to report that the number of murders have gone down. However, look at what's just happened in Colorado. I mean, the numbers of are growing in a different way is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think, you know, you bring up a really good point, as our caller did as well. And, let me perhaps throw it out in this, with this spin on it, that while perhaps murders are going down, I think that the general just sort of aggressiveness of society and the way people interact with each other is going up all the time. You can tell that by the way people interact on the street, why people interact in stores, the way people interact while driving down the roads,
yeah,
and road rage and all of that stuff, that there just seems to be this sort of general fragmenting and sort of aggressive attitude that's happening in society. I mean, would you see that as being a valid viewpoint on all of this?
Well, I certainly think so. You know, I heard this topic being discussed the other day. They called it a lack of politeness in our society
right.
these days, where we have seemed to have lost something. And, you know, who knows why? You know, personally, I think that we receive so much information every day, so many bits and bytes of information from billboards and the radio and television, all these different media outlets, that we all just become frazzled after a while, you know. But that's just my own, you know, personal thought. I did want to say, though, and to make certain that we talk a little bit about the importance of parents and what parents really need to do in this culture and in our society.
Please do.
We have to really think of ourselves as media consumers. The television that comes right into our living rooms, right into our children's bedrooms, which is a whole other, I don't think kids should have TV in their bedrooms, is something that we are consuming. And just as you would, carefully select what your child is going to be eating for breakfast or lunch, you need to think of it in the same, your television is the same way. You need to monitor what your kid is consuming on TV. You need not necessarily to shut it off if there's something that you don't like. You need to be in there talking about what it was that you didn't like about that program or about that record or about that video game, and assert your own values so that the kid has something to compare it to.
That's a really good point. In fact, my wife and I were talking last night about how several years ago we were listening to one of our sons who kept playing this Eazy-E rap record over and over and over again. And I'm one of these people who likes rap, but I was listening to this record and Eazy-E is talking about robbing this bank and then going in and seeing this beautiful woman in the bank and deciding that he wants to rape this beautiful woman. And he goes to do this and it turns out to be a transvestite. And then Eazy-E kills this person in this rap record and then blames it on the victim. And we were listening to our kid play this over and over and over, and we went, that's it. Forget it. That's beyond the pale. We went over and took it out of the CD player and said, no. No way.
Did your kid talk about why he liked that particular song?
He thought Eazy-E was cool, and at that time, you know, that was really kind of the height of, you know, a lot of white kids thinking that they really wanted to be black gangbangers. And I think that he thought that somehow or another, that there was something glamorous in that lifestyle. And we discussed that, and very thankfully, he's decided that perhaps living that kind of life isn't as glamorous as he thought it might be, and that's a really good idea. In fact, the kid is much more responsible now than I was at his age. I feel much better about it. But you know, there are some things that I think, you know, parents, regardless of what you think, you have to say that this has gone beyond the pale. In our case, that had gone beyond the pale. And I think I agree with you completely. I mean, it's real easy to sit back and be victimized. You do have to take action, and then I think take the time to explain that action to the young people around you so they can understand why you believe what you believe.
Exactly. You did exactly the right thing.
I thought so.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Lori Trotta of MediaScope. Lori, let me ask you this, because we've certainly focused on violence, and as a result of everything that's been going on, it's somewhat understandable why. But, I mean, there are any number of other social messages that are being put forth through the media. I'm assuming that MediaScope addresses those as well.
Mm-hmm. We look at things like gender issues and diversity issues, teen sexuality issues, stuff like that.
Okay. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hi. This is Doris, and we ran my commentary the other Friday on this violence in the media, and it seems that American boys' heroes are all violence, violent-oriented guys who kill people that piss them off. You know, if somebody makes you angry, kill them is the message. We do the same thing with the death penalty. We just killed somebody night before last, I think it was, or last night. We send a clear message, especially with NATO bombing. We use violence in other places other than fantasy, and I think that that has a real impact on children as well. And we've learned now that children from birth to six do not have the capability to distinguish between fantasy and reality. And when they are seated in front of Arnold movies or the cartoons that are available nowadays that look like they were produced by the Pentagon, kids are, it's becoming a part of their psyche to make it all right to kill or, you know, I was raised with two wrongs don't make a right. I have not heard that phrase in years because for the last 20 years or so, many wrongs have been making rights. And I think that's a real sad situation that we have in our society.
Let's let Lori try to speak to that. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
Lori, can you speak to that issue?
Well, certainly. And I think one of the things that we have to remember, too, when we're talking about the influence of the media on viewers, when we look especially at small children don't have the life experiences that older children do. They haven't had a lot of time yet, even with their parents and their extended family and loved ones, to begin the process of really molding their minds. They have no filters in place. When they see something on television, that can really, you know, work to become part of their worldview because they don't have anything to compare it to. So, especially with tiny children, what they watch on TV is very, very important.
Well, certainly, and I don't know necessarily where I'm going with this, but we only have a couple of minutes left. But, I mean, there's this whole issue of using media to sell stuff. And, not only do we have these portrayals of, violent heroes and all of that, there's whole issues of product placement. There's the whole issue of as smoking becomes less acceptable and advertising, the direct advertising of tobacco products becomes less acceptable in society, that corporations start moving to product placement in various television programs and movies and so forth and so on. And there's just this whole commercialization of culture whereby everything is dictated on how can I use this vehicle to sell something, whether it be action heroes or whatever. I mean, that's a whole issue as well.
It's a huge issue. And we have to remember that first and foremost, television is a business. It is put there to sell things. You know, the programming is there to wrap around the commercials.
Yes, as a point that I think is needing to be said more and more often, that in fact the idea of media, television in particular, is not to provide the audience programming, it is to deliver the audience to the advertisers. We've been speaking with Lori Trotta of MediaScope. Lori, do you have any final thoughts for our audience? And also, if anybody wanted to get more information or wanted to try and be of whatever assistance that MediaScope might desire, how could they do that?
That's kind of you to ask. If people want more information, they should go to our website, which is mediascope.org. There are a lot of wonderful programs that speak to the issues of media and children. The National PTA has a program called Critical Viewing Skills, which works with parents and just gives them all sorts of wonderful ideas and ways to help kids realize and to view media, for what it really is. And I would encourage, if you don't have one in your community, to call your local chapter of the PTA and get one of those chapters started.
Sounds like a really good idea. Any final thoughts?
That's it. Thanks so much for letting me speak.
Well, thank you for being with us on the program, Lori Trotta of Mediascope, and perhaps we can have you on again at some future date. That's it for this edition of the program. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. If you're interested in copies of this or other Full Logic Reverse programs, you can contact us via email at flr@jps.net or by telephone at area code 530-265-9462. Full Logic Reverse is produced at FLR Studios in Nevada City, California, USA. Our music is by Rick Payne. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse. As well.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you very much.